listening to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, hello, welcome to episode number 177 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and my good pal, Sean Orford. How are you, Sean?
I'm sorry, I'm a bully.
What?
If you don't keep watching that screen and it goes off again, I'm going to bully you.
Well, yeah, a little clue as to what we're talking about today. It's not a laughing matter, I'll have you know. But yeah, it'll be fair enough. Last week we got, well, we've been recording about 20 minutes and then I realised that the program we used to record with had stopped working about 10 minutes prior, so we lost a lot of good stuff.
Pearls of wisdom.
So I was trying to remember it all. And, yeah, hey ho. There's no script to this show as such, is there?
If only there was. We need a script writer.
We do, really. I'll tell you what we do have. For the first time in 177 episodes, we've sold out. We have a sponsor, Sean.
Yeah,
wow. What do you make of that? I need to work on my sales pitch a bit.
Yeah.
Shall I go for it and give it its first go? So you'll be hearing this a couple of times each week for the rest of your lives.
Just have a quick word from our sponsor now.
Yeah, we've teamed up with an app called 123 Friday, which is a backup app for backing up all your precious memories, photos, videos, and even your contacts as well, actually. Dead easy to use. Look for it in the App Store. We have a referral code, which is LITPNOW98. Check out our website if you want a link to it, and it'll tell you more about it.
You haven't mentioned cross-platforms.
One of the key selling points of 123 Friday. It's cross-platform, yeah. So if you were to, by chance, lose your Apple iPhone and then you thought, I know, I fancy one of them Samsung or that new Google phone looks pretty cool, actually.
Is it good? Is it?
Google Pixel looks nice. You could then buy that phone, download 123 Friday, and all your photos and videos would sync with that device.
And your contacts. Cool.
And your contacts. And which is actually quite a big pain in the bum, isn't it, when you lose your contacts.
Yeah.
I've got hundreds in mine. So, yeah, check out the link on our website and have a little go.
Does that mean, then, that if I've got that up on 123 and I've done that from my Apple device, that on my Mac device, on my other computer, I could download it onto the phone?
Yeah, and there's a web version coming as well. They're going to be developing the app quite a bit, so you'll be able to get it all on your computer or all over the show. Check it out, have a go, and yeah, it's very cheap, £10 a year for 32 gigabytes.
And I've got it.
Yeah, and it's nice, so yeah, have a look at it, see what you think. I'm going to work on my sales pitch so that's a bit shorter and more succinct.
Yeah, you need a bit more kind of polished.
I'm not sure how many listeners we've lost by now.
It's a bit rusty. Never come back again.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about bullying this week. Liveinthepresent.co.uk is our website, all the show notes and links from this episode, and all the 176 previous episodes, none of which have any sponsorship or adverts in at all. So they're really snappy. You'll love them to bits.
Do you think we get to where we would have like advert breaks? We'd have to take a break and go to it? No.
Not sure about that.
No.
Well, let us know, dear listeners, what you think. Maybe we could get some celebrity to record the advert for us.
What do you mean? We are celebrities.
How are you doing though, Sean? You okay?
I'm good. I am very good.
What's going on in your world?
I am, because my attic is now finished. We now call it the studio. I've now started recording and developing the apps. So over the next year, there will be a series of apps coming out on both the app stores and related to all the work that we do, Live in the Present. But a lot of it will be mindful recordings. I've started recording things on anxiety at the moment I'm working on. Which is quite relevant to what we're talking about today, really, because of the high levels of anxiety that people are experiencing, and looking at mindful ways that we can overcome that.
Okay.
But those apps, by the new year, will all be available.
Yeah, and this
available.
Is, good. Clients and listeners have been requesting this kind of stuff for a while.
For ages.
So let's get it done.
I finally finished the studio, and we can do it.
Yeah, well, you've got your studio. I've got a new office.
Yeah.
I put a picture on Instagram. In the week, check me out at Edward Lamb. You can see the exterior of our office. Pretty smart little, like a film set in it.
Yeah.
I got to doff my cap to Wirral Chamber of Commerce, who it's kind of what part of their business hub. They've got a few little sites around the Wirral, or Birkenhead specifically. We managed to nab one of the spaces in there. It's me and a couple of pals that are kind of teaming up. And
it's good.
Yeah, so it's really cool, man. Come say hi if you fancy having a chat about web design and stuff, but I'm pretty excited about it.
Yeah, it's fabulous when people create those kind of hubs, so you get that cross-fertilisation from different creatives working in there. It's good.
Yeah, there's a little coffee shop downstairs, and I've already had a good chinwag with some of the other guys in the building. So, yeah, really looking forward to it.
I have to ask you a serious question, though. Mm. You sent me a message which said, I've got to put up a shelf, but I'm really bad at it.
Oh, putting up a shelf.
So have you put the shelf up?
No shelf has been put up yet. There's actually like an on-site handyman janitor.
Oh, right, so you haven't got to put the shelf up.
So I think he's going to do it for us. I don't think he trusts us with his walls.
I'm not surprised.
So yeah, it's all good. But let's talk about this week's show. We've had an email from a listener, Michelle, who very simply didn't give any specifics about her situation, but asked us to talk about bullying in the workplace. We're going to widen this out to more bullying in general, really. I can't believe I did search the archives. We haven't talked about specifically bullying before. So, flipping heck, you would have thought we'd touched this, sorted this one by now. We haven't. Lots to go get on with. Were you bullied, Sean, or have you been throughout your life?
I was bullied consistently throughout my early childhood by my family, being my father particularly, and then my sisters, and I was bullied right up until I was 11 when I went to school, in secondary school, and the very first day of secondary school I'd made a decision that I was going to change things. I was bullied at school a lot in primary school.
Yep.
So the first day I went to school, this bigger kid, who was probably about 15, stole my cap. We had to wear caps in those days, pulled it off my head, and I hit him over the head so hard with my briefcase that he had to have 3 stitches in his head.
Uh-huh.
And I got the cane. You got the cane in those days. And it was the best thing I ever did.
Good to say. Was it worth it?
Oh, it was worth it, because it was then like, well, don't go anywhere near him.
Well,
and it was good.
Yeah, I'm a father to 2 young lads now. They're not, well, one has just started school, so he's, you know, he'll be interacting more with other people in the coming months and years. So, but my wife is also a teacher, and you know, instinctively, you know, I know that as a dad, if you think that your child is in trouble at school or getting picked on, the instinctive advice to give is to stand up to that bully, isn't it? But my wife being a teacher, you know, obviously her advice is that go and seek counsel, whether you're a teacher or an adult or that kind of thing. So just to be the contrarian, we shouldn't, you know, be advising all that warfare.
I think there's a more fundamental issue than that, is that bullies come in 2 varieties. You get the bully who's a learned bully, and that's one that you can deal with relatively easily. And then you get the bully who's a psychopath. And you have to know the difference before you stand up to them, because you might be dead.
Yep.
Yeah. And that is very serious, because if you stand up to somebody who isn't going to back down, you've now put yourself in a very untenable position.
Right.
If it's a regular bully, then usually standing up to them will work. But sometimes you need a bit of underpinning to give you the strength to do that.
Yeah. Tricky one. Personally, was I bullied? No is the answer I'm thinking of saying. I was picked on quite a bit all through school. I was the shortest guy in the class, you know, all through like 14, 15 years of school. So I was picked on for that. And I've always been, you know, Mr. Nice Guy, seen as a bit of a pushover. So I think when I was younger, I was a bit of a pushover, which I kind of managed to work my way out of. But I don't think I was ever bullied as such. I never worried about going into school because I might see that certain someone that would, you know, upset me. So I think I got quite lucky, really, because, yeah, I kind of always have been a bit of a charmer as well, so I've always been able to kind of talk them round, I guess. So quite fortunate, I guess. But my 2 lads, I can tell they're going to be teeny-weeny tiny titches in their classes as well. So they'll have all the names that I had at school, you know, titch and all that stuff.
Yeah,
I'm sure they'll rise above it.
Yeah. My mother, God bless her, added insult to injury by giving me a crew cut, followed by National Health glasses that were the round ones like John Lennon wore, but they weren't cool when you're little, tied on with elastic bands at the back so they didn't fall off to break. So I was a prime target because I looked like a tit, and was picked on because of that.
Yep.
And I think that that's quite an important idea too, is that if you think about a guru has to have disciples or they're not a guru. And disciples need to have a guru or they're not disciples. It kind of works. It's a kind of reciprocal relationship.
Yep.
Yeah. Bullies have to have victims or they're not bullies. Yep. And a victim has to have a bully to be a victim.
Mm.
Yeah. And I think that in terms of learned habits and the way that we are, very often we are the way that we are because nobody has said anything to the person to stop them being whatever they are, whether it's a victim or a bully.
Yep.
Yeah. And in terms of learned behaviour, and people say, it's just the way that I am, and I'm forever saying, no, it's the way you've learned to be. It, both cases, victims and bullies. You know, no one comes out the womb being a victim or a bully. They learn that behaviour.
Sure.
Yeah, unless they are a psychopath. But let's put psychopaths to one side and
yep.
talk about carefully. Straight bullying.
Yeah, yeah. Just push them aside very carefully. Don't want to upset them, do you?
I'd like to... if you don't remember this, it's worth looking up. It was the Marcos. It was Ferdinand and Imelda Marcos, who were the dictators of the Philippines. And they ruled as dictators and had the whole country under martial law from 1972 right through to the end of 1981, when they were deposed by a housewife. I think her name was Cory Aquino.
Okay.
And she gathered the whole of the population of the Philippines together and they had a big yellow sponge foam hand that they used to use. It was their symbol. And they went out on the streets and told the Marcoses to go away, to get out of the country. And they tried everything. They tried using the army, all kinds of stuff, and the people wouldn't back down. And in the end, they had to go. It took them quite a while, but in the end, they had to leave the country.
And was any blood shed, or was this...
Yeah, yeah, the blood was shed, but the people that protested did it peacefully. There wasn't like a violent uprising. The violence was from the dictator authorities trying to control the population who said, no, we've had enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the only time that's happened in Britain that I am aware of, and there might be others, but Maggie Thatcher... produced the poll tax and people didn't want to pay it. And in the end, because people said, no, we're not paying it, she had to repeal the act and take away the poll tax. So the poll tax was that people would be taxed individually for, say, your council tax. So if there were five people living in your house may be a hovel, if there were five people living, you had to pay five times the tax of someone that was living in a mansion and only had one person in it.
Right, okay.
It was that kind of thing, yeah?
Yeah.
And people said, we're not doing that, we are not going to do it. And she had to repeal it because people would not pay it.
Apparently, yeah? People like, well, bringing this yeah. kind of bringing that, this idea of bringing down dictators and governments into Michelle's court, where she, you know, well, she didn't actually say actually if she was being bullied at work. I think it was just a topic that she would like us to discuss. But for people that are being bullied at work or, you know, I don't know, university or maybe there's some schoolgoers listening to this, where'd you start?
The place that you have to begin when you're looking at bullies is understanding why they are in the situation that they're in. So if it's in an organisation, that a bully may well be somebody who is reflecting what they've been taught by higher management. So one of my experiences in working in organisations is if I've got bullying at one level, then I've got it in the management above, and I've got it in the management above, and the management above, because it always rolls down from the top. If yep. an organisation is a bullying organisation, we have to go right to the top. And executives and directorate boards don't like that because... they always want their organisation to change from the bottom up, but they have to take responsibility and change it from the top down, and they're not very good at that.
Okay.
Yeah. If we're looking at an individual in the workplace, then you tend to find that, say, someone I meet someone who's 35 and they're being bullied in the workplace. If I sit down with that person and go through their history, I usually find that they were bullied when they were 7 or 8. and they never resolved it. And what's happening is, in the workplace, they're confronted by a bully and they emotionally regress to being 7 or 8.
Oh, wow.
And they become defenceless, although they're 35.
Do bullies that kids that were bullies, do they tend to become bullies later in life as well, or is that?
Yeah, well, unless someone stops it, yeah. Unless someone stops it, then that is what happens. That's what people do.
Yeah.
And in that sense, that habits are things that we form once they're in there. Unless something happens to change the habit, it's what we do. It's our default position.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it can be quite a problem in the ethos of some organisations. I run mindful managers courses where we're training managers to do things, but one of the things that becomes quite obvious when I'm working with it is that many of the managers that I am attempting to introduce to mindfulness have never had any management training. And that can be hundreds of managers I can go through to find one person who's had some proper training. And then we wonder why they don't manage the bullies in the system, and it's because they can't do it.
Yep.
They don't have the skill base to do it.
What are you doing?
I'm sorry, is it okay?
It's fine, yeah.
I'm panicking.
Dear listeners, my computer sounds like it's about to take off. It's fine, don't worry, Sean. Okay, so people aren't prepared... Well, the managers aren't prepared, because like I was saying earlier on how the advice from teachers, and the advice I'm sure you'll get online, we'll mention some resources later, is rather than confront the bully and smack them in the mouth, is to seek advice from your teacher, or if you're if you're at work getting bullied, is to go to your line manager or whatever. I would have thought.
But very often, if the management is weak, the managers may even be being bullied as well. So in psycho speak, in the workplace, we would talk about up ladder bullying, where you get members of staff who are actually bullying their manager.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the bully's got the manager around his little finger, or his or her little finger as well.
And sometimes the only place that you're going to get any redress is either through the unions or through the occupational health department to try and get something done that's different. The problem is that very often a manager has been appointed by another manager who's also a bully.
Yeah.
So that they see the bullying behaviour as acceptable. So if you get a bullying manager in it, so that...
Because it's seen as a way to get stuff done and a way that a company will, achieve higher sales and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And,
greater productivity.
Yeah.
More so in the public sector than the private sector. The private sector realises that they lose productivity if the bullying gets too great. So it's a different kind of world. The public sector can be more bullying. But the amount of times I've been to higher management and said, this manager is a bully, and they will say to me, oh, let's not call it a bully. Let's say that they're a firm manager, shall we? let's call it something else. But if it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, guess what? It's a duck. and when you've got bullies, you've got bullies. And unless people stand up to them, and this is true right across the country, right across the world, unless you stand up to the bullies, then the bullies dominate.
Yep.
And that doesn't matter whether it is... ISIS, whether it is the madness of people like George Bush or Tony Blair, it doesn't matter. We have to stand up to these people. Yeah.
Yeah, or there's a certain Mr. Trump getting in the headlines. I've seen his name.
He's a real character.
Who he is. Yeah.
He's a real character.
And you wouldn't have a guy like that can be a bully or so strong with his hair, because he's got crazy hair, surely, yeah.
Has he? It's embarrassing, isn't it? You see, I wonder whether, when you look at him, whether his bullying issues aren't him. He's the mouthpiece, but maybe he's been surrounded by a team of people that are the enforcers. And you do get that. You get Mr. Big, who actually doesn't do anything, but he's got lots of grunts that go round and enforce the bullying. And you do get that in the workplace. You will get someone who's the queen bee, and then you will get the supporters, the lieutenants, that are out there kind of enacting the negativity.
I mean, I look at someone like Mr. Trump. I don't know if I'd call him a bully as such. We haven't... Although, to me, I've heard quite a bit about the way he has done business in the past, and, he's ripped people off and not paid invoices and all that stuff. But I look at him personally, and I see him as quite a lonely individual with even amongst his close family. I don't know, I'm doing him an injustice here, but he doesn't seem to be that close with anyone. So is that something, a trait that's a characteristic of all bullies? They're kind of quite lonely, or have they got emotional issues of all kinds, shapes and sizes?
Well, one of the...
We might have some bullies listening to this show. Maybe they don't realise they are bullies.
But, the amount of times I've had managers come to me in a bit of a state of shock, saying, I've just had a grievance taken out against me for bullying. And they are genuinely shocked.
Right.
And what they've been doing is that the system above them has been pouring the pressure down on their heads, and they've turned it around and pushed it downwards. And because they've been so anxious about hitting targets or actually doing what they've been told, that they don't kind of see their behaviour as bullying.
Okay.
And then they're shocked. And I have known managers go around and apologise profusely once they realise what they've been doing.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So sometimes they don't even realise.
Yeah, yeah.
'Cause, okay, so maybe a bit of empathy in terms of if you're being bullied at work, trying to put yourself in the bully's shoes just for a second, see what kind of pressure they're on. It doesn't excuse it, perhaps, but maybe it will just alter your mindset and
One of the problems, if you're in the workplace and you're being bullied, this is the kind of thing that you have to do. You have to record everything that happens, because what happens later is if you are in a grievance or if you're in a tribunal, you have to have your evidence. And you can't say, you know, 3 years ago, can't remember when you said to me this. You need to be keeping a diary and writing it down.
Right.
Yeah.
Keeping emails that you think might... Well, I don't know. I guess you can get bullying by email. Now, we need to talk probably briefly about cyberbullying, don't we? Which kind of is you hear in quite a bit of at the moment.
Well, one of the things about email bullying, cyberbullying, those kinds of concepts...
Because that kind of stuff leaves a paper trail.
Yeah, I was going to say you've got an evidential trail,
yeah.
and that's what you're creating when someone's bullying you. So that I will encourage the staff that come to see me in organisations to, when someone says something to them, that they just send them a confirming email that just says, just confirming, I passed you in the at 10:30 in the corridor, and you said you arsehole under your breath as you walked past, you know, and just send it.
Yeah,
yeah. And that what you're doing is you're actually collating together a body of evidence. And the bullying may be more subtle than that, but it still deserves an email.
Yep.
Yeah, that kind of thing. The idea that people aren't physical in the workplace isn't real either. I have to deal with people that have been attacked in the workplace by other members of staff, by colleagues, sometimes by members of the public. People do get violent, or they threaten violence.
Right.
Yeah, and most organisations now say that they've got a zero-tolerance policy, which is OK if they enact it. Having a policy doesn't mean that they're going to enact it. And I do see that thing about people calling a duck a dog rather than actually admitting that it's a duck.
Yeah.
You know, and they'll do anything that they can to make it a dog and not a duck.
Mm.
Yeah, and that is what happens then is that the organisation loses the loyalty of the staff members because management no longer have credibility that they're going to do anything about anything.
Right, OK.
And I see that happen a lot.
There's an article, Huffington Post, top 10 tips for dealing with bullies at work, which I will put in the show notes on the website. But there's some good stuff here, most of which we've kind of touched on.
Yeah.
One of which is... don't get emotional, don't blame yourself. Number three, do your best work, which I quite like the sound of that. Get your head down, kind of, I don't know, try and rise above it and get to the, well.
But I get that.
Yeah.
But all the time, keep recording.
Yeah.
Keep recording that is one of all the time. Does it say that?
Document everything, number five.
That is the most important thing. You have to have a body of evidence.
Yeah. At no point here does it say, smack the bully in the mouth. Just for the record.
Just get a couple of other lads to do it.
Yeah, stay healthy, get counselling, educate yourself, and don't expect to change the bully, which I guess is... I mean, we were talking about empathising with the bully, but I guess ultimately, this is the self-help podcast, isn't it? So we're trying to teach people how they can...
But sometimes the only help that you can do is to go somewhere else.
Right.
You know, if an organisation is dysfunctional and isn't operating as it should do and isn't dealing with the bullies, why would you want to stay there?
Yeah.
And again, I see that in organisations where the good people, the experience base, the people that can get a job somewhere else, get up and walk.
Mm.
You know?
Okay. Well, I'll briefly touch on cyberbullying, which... you know, you don't have to. You can be of all ages for that to be relevant, but particularly for youngsters now, I'm thinking. Cyberbullying is quite a big deal, and I was trying to think about subtle little ways, because obviously you could get a text message from someone at school or at uni that is quite abusive or horrible. But even little things like not being invited to a Facebook group amongst everyone in your class, and you're not allowed in it.
Yeah,
that would be. Well, hard to take.
I think I said it in the last podcast, but we've got this problem at the moment where across Britain generally, one in four women between the ages of 16 and 28 are receiving some kind of psychological help for anxiety. And in some parts of the country, it's down to one in three.
Yeah.
And if you start to look at the evidence that's beginning to emerge... What's being said is that the big change that's happened in society is social media. And that's what's creating the anxiety.
Yeah, I can see why. Yeah, completely.
You know, and a lot of that has to be this kind of bullying, which may not be overt in the sense of inclusion or exclusion.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. And I think even the issues of you're at home having maybe not a good time. And on Facebook, you can see colleagues or friends having an amazing time, you know, which may or may not be true, because we know that Facebook doesn't always tell the truth in that sense.
For sure.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But then you can feel that you have been excluded from this fun that everyone's having, or they're looking like they're having.
Yeah. I encouraged people earlier on to check out my Instagram feed, and I do. But I will. The side note is that my life isn't quite as perfect as it looks on Instagram. Yeah, I have to spend so much time with you for a start.
That's a pleasure.
Was that bullying? That's a little sly dig. When does banter become bullying?
You mean when you just bullied me?
Are you like crying yourself to sleep or
every night?
Yeah. I said this to me.
No, for me, being bullied as a kid was hard. But learning to stand up to it, and I was aggressive for a while to stand up to it, changed my life, because it made me realise I didn't have to suffer that kind of indignity of being bullied.
Mm.
Yeah, and there is that joke that still lives with me in my family, which is that I'm a pacifist, I'm a really nice guy. Honestly, I'm a lovely guy, but if you hit me, I'm really going to kill you. Because there is that side of me that I had to adopt as a child to survive.
Yep.
Don't like bringing it out to say hello. Has been useful if I had to.
Okay. Yeah. I'll watch me back.
Yeah. Just sharpening a knife over here.
You got a resource of the week?
Yeah, it's a book, and it's a kid's book.
Ah.
But it's about developing responses and resources, and it's called Bully For You. I put a link into it.
That's kind of you.
And I
save me kind of Googling it.
That's good.
Every week. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That's because you're a victim. And I'm.
Yeah. Go on. Sorry.
No, I use this actually when I'm working with managers, and what it does is it shows you in the end what a weak person the bully is, and how when everybody's had enough and they turn against the bully cracks up. You know, and that happens in most cases.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Mine is a website, bullying.co.uk. It's not tips for bullies.
Yeah, it sounds like that, doesn't it?
It sound a bit like that. But no, it's a charity, which is all sorts of advice on all different ranges of bullying, like we've just discussed. So workplace, school, cyberbullying. It's just reams and reams of fantastic advice. They're doing some good work over there, so check it out.
Do they cover things like domestic violence and stuff like that?
I believe so, yeah. From the brief look I had, it does actually.
Because that's the other area, isn't it?
We didn't even talk about, bullying at home, where there's nowhere to hide, is there, really?
No, I guess. But if people are in that situation, it's important that you... Like if you're in the workplace, you can go to occupational health or the unions. you can, if you're a child, ring Childline.
Yep.
If you are an adult, there are lots and lots of services out there. You can Google stuff fairly easy.
Mm.
And there are lots of facilities and resources out there locally to you. But never, never suffer bullying. Never do it.
It's no fun, man. And startbullying.co.uk is a great resource from what I've seen, so check it out.
Yep.
Right, that's it for this week. A few show notes and links we've mentioned. Liveinthepresent.co.uk. I just mentioned earlier on our sponsor or our partners, 123 Friday. If you go to the website, you'll see a link with their logo on our homepage and on each page in the sidebar. So click that. It'll explain what you need to do. It's invitation only, so you need to use our referral code LITPNOW98 to get into it.
Okay.
Have a little look around, and if you can download it and support us at the same time, fantastic. No pressure there. No. I need to work on it.
We'll still talk to you.
Yeah, we'll still talk to you, of course, man. Guys have got to make a book, eh? next week, I'm not sure what we're talking about. We've got loads of emails to work through, actually, that people have been sending in. Keep them coming. Send us an email via the website if there's anything you would like us to discuss. I can't believe it's taken us like over 3 years to talk about bullying, but hey ho, there's a lot to talk about in the world, isn't there?
There is. Never ends.
It never ends, and we'll be back next week with more.
We will.
All right, take care, Sean.
Yeah, see you then. Bye.
See you, everyone. Bye.